who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready to check your feelings at the door?
Check it out. Check it out.
This is Am I Reister or Am I Wrong? We're bringing you facts and only the truth. Now, Am I Reister or Am I Wrong?
I'm George Reister. He's Ralph Amson. And this is Reister or Wrong. Up today, Sports Illustrated wants to spend $400+ million to build a paradise in Mississippi. Will it work? Or will it be like ESPN restaurants? Jim Jordan and Dave Portnoy are in cahoots. Bruh, can we please just make it stop? As a part of Roger Goodell testifying in front of Congress. And top five today, our top five superheroes. And a subject I am so excited about, Kyrie Irving, the Brooklyn Nets, and my Los Angeles Lakers. And we want to talk a little bit about Jalen Ferguson, Ravens player who just passed away. You guys can always hit us up, 818-293-7547. All right. We'll start, though, Ralph, with Sports Illustrated. They want to build a $400 million paradise that is that essentially looks like a gaming, like, okay, I'll read it. They want to build a mega resort on the Mississippi coast, one of the first in the U.S. It's going to include hotels, restaurants, and attractions Mississippi has never seen before. And from the renderings of it, it looks like Las Vegas. You hear me? Like it looks like Las Vegas meets Wild World of sports. So obviously they're going to be in on the gambling component because it's in Mississippi. So you can have casinos there. It is going to be like, they're going to try to attract sports there and events. Are you in on this or are you out?
This sounds more like a, something up Barstool Sports Alley. Sports Illustrated is kind of underwent an interesting evolution. Because it is owned, the ownership group around it is headed up by Jim Heckman, who co-founded Rivals, and then I think at one point got forced out at Scout, and then they went in on Sports Illustrated, ended up laying a bunch of people off, and then they went to like the team specific model, and they must be doing decent,
and they are
financially
behind a paywall too.
Yes, some of their stuff is, some of their stuff isn't. They have a couple of, I think Bruce Feldman is one of their main guys. They have a couple of big-time writers still.
Wait, Bruce Feldman's not at The Athletic anymore?
I can't. It's one of those guys. It's either Feldman or Woken, or it's not Thamel because he's at ESPN now. One of those guys is still at Sports Illustrated. They have somebody like that. They're not completely down and out. The team specific thing is interesting. I had a friend that was running the Arizona State one for a while. I'm a little bit surprised that this is that they would have the ability to acquire the financing to build something like this. And I'm also a little bit surprised at the location. I just spent time on the Mississippi coast for the very first time last year when I was moving out to Charlotte. I drove my wife's car back. I stopped in Biloxi for a night, left a couple $100 in the Hard Rock there. This is actually not right down on the coast. This is not only inland, past the little the inlet and the delta. It's up, I think, toward the 10 freeway, I believe. And so it's not going to be right on the water. It's going to be a little bit more accessible for people coming in and out, but it's not going to be right down on the water like the Hard Rock is.
And do you know what that probably makes it a little bit safer? Because the Mississippi does have a tendency to flood sometimes, and the last thing that you want is your $400 million getting run down the river.
Yeah, and it's also got as any tourist trap does. There's some townies and there's some riffraff, there's some transient populations that sort of make the. Everywhere's the same. California, Florida, you have people who make a living trying to nickel and dime the people who are passing through, which, you know, I guess that's a better way to support the economy than actually dropping it in Sports Illustrated or Hard Rock in their pocket.
Yeah, because on the renderings, though, it looks like it's actually going to have – it looks like part Six Flags, part, you know – part amusement park like that. They're trying to make it a place where a family says, "Oh, we'll go there because mom and dad can gamble. We can send the kids to the amusement park at the same time, and then there's water slide like that." That it's more like a, you know, like a place that I just went to in the Bahamas, where like a Bar Mar or an Atlantis.
Here is, and stop me if I start to sound incredibly sexist, here's one of the things for me. So what they're saying, and this is a very interesting quote, is that they think they'll draw between 1 and 2 million visitors a year. There's a big gap between 1 and 2 million.
Yes.
Like that's a big difference. But do we think that the Mississippi coast can be a family vacation destination that is dad driven? Because most family vacations, it's like one of the biggest priorities is like, we need to find a place where mom's going to be comfortable, where mom can relax. That's the one of the perfect balances of Las Vegas, is that you have something for everybody, including on the family.
That's what this is intended to do. Clearly.
The Sports Illustrated name will be like, guys will be like, well, I like sports. And then, you know, women will be like, oh, the beach. And then they'll have a few Ferris wheels and stuff for the kids. And they think that'll be enough to make the Mississippi coast, instead of going out to making a trip out to Florida and leaving your money at, you know, at one of the parks down there. Do you think this is actually viable?
Yes, dude. If you can get volleyball tournaments to come down there,
I see what you're saying.
If you can get the tournaments to go down there, whether it's 7-on-7, volleyball, and get people there to experience it first, and then they're like, oh, wait, hold on, no. We will happily come back there. That's how you attract parents there, is you force them to come there first. And then if they figure out, oh, wait, this is an adult hangout spot too, we're in. Like, this is a place we can head to on the weekend, and it's upscale too. Yeah, Yeah, yeah. This is an absolute
yeah, you could pull people from Louisiana, pull people from Northern Florida, and then, you know, obviously you have everything that's north of there. I think it could be a regional boon. Anything that's helpful for Mississippi, I'm sort of all about, because they're like the butt of the joke of America. Like people like to joke about Florida, people like to joke about California, but like when it comes to all the measurables and the metrics, whether it's like obesity or education or crime or poverty, it's always like, oh, there's Mississippi down there at 48 or 49.
Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, you know, but they would hate to live in California, though. It's miserable out here.
I'm just fascinated to see if, you know, why Sports Illustrated, why isn't this something MGM didn't take on, or Harrah's, or, you know, or somebody more established in this area?
That's a good question.
What does Sports Illustrated think is in it for them that this would be the boost to them or the next evolution for them? Because like you brought up ESPN Zone.
Yeah.
And I think if it wasn't for ESPN Zone, we wouldn't have Sam Ponder. So shout out to ESPN Zone.
Yo.
She got discovered as a waitress there. Yeah. But I those things went bye-bye, I think.
Yeah. Yes, they did. And you raise a very good point. Why didn't they do it? And they are in that business of gambling and making money. But they do already have casinos in Mississippi. So, you know, they may have just been like, we're not building another one. All right. Next thing up, this clip went viral today. And this is Roger Goodell speaking in front of Congress because of the Washington football team, because their ownership can't behave themselves. So he had to show up in front of Congress. And here is what he said.
Ban Dave Portnoy from NFL games.
Pardon me, I couldn't hear your question.
Why do you ban Dave Portnoy from NFL games? He's a journalist. In fact, he's a sports journalist. Why is he banned?
Congressman, I'm not familiar with that issue. I'm happy to check with my staff, but I'm not aware of that.
First thing, why on earth is Jim Jordan in a hearing about the Washington Commanders? First of all, he referred to them as the Redskins probably 10 times, knowing better. First of all, I wish Roger Goodell had been like, sir, excuse me, they are the Washington Commanders. I wish he had corrected it first.
He did. I think at one point.
Yeah. But it was after just a repeated, you know, just time and time again. But why is Jim Jordan caping for Dave Portnoy in the middle of something that is completely unrelated? I don't get it.
I think that here my theory on this is that Jim Jordan is trying to build a case against the NFL being pro free speech on the heels of the Jack Del Rio thing, on the heels of the Kaepernick settlement, on the heels of the Redskins having to change their name to the Commanders, which, by the way, happened 30 years too late. And I think that Jim Jordan is trying to, like, basically just craft an argument to say that, like, no, what you care about is controlling whatever narrative. To use Dave Portnoy being banned by the NFL and then to refer to him as a journalist is one of the most disingenuous things I have ever seen. Dude, just within
Dave
the lane
Portnoy
of like sports
is not
and
a
Congress.
Journalist. That's would, like calling I, you, me a I am not a journalist. That is
he, I don't think he I've never seen him refer to himself non-jokingly as a journalist. That's not even something that Dave Portnoy would have said. So that part is wild. And then, like, why the hell did Roger Goodell lie to Congress? He's lying.
Are you sure?
Oh my gosh! Yes, I'm absolutely sure.
Pay attention to what he said. He didn't say he wasn't familiar with Dave Portnoy. He said he wasn't familiar with him being banned.
Come on now. Of course he is.
Are you sure? How do you know?
Because it made national news because I think Dave Portnoy got like arrested at a Deflategate protest,
he showed up at the NFL offices and he got arrested for trespassing
and then banned. And then that's what got him kicked out of the 2019 Super Bowl, which again made national news. And then Sean Payton wore a Barstool designed Roger Goodell clown nose shirt in a press conference about his, I think, regarding his Bounty Gate suspension.
Yes.
And then Dave Portnoy also won an auction that would have allowed him to spend time with Roger Goodell, and Roger Goodell reversed course on the auction and refunded the money. Like, Dave Portnoy has done everything to get Roger Goodell's attention after being, the whole point is to just harass Roger Goodell. In fact, in response to this, Dave Portnoy called Roger Goodell Hitler.
Oh, dude. Okay, so everybody is applauding Dave Portnoy. I am applauding Roger Goodell for this. I'm applauding Roger Goodell. He pulled the LeBron on Skip Bayless. Like, he did exactly what LeBron does to Skip Bayless. Skip will talk about LeBron incessantly, day in and day out. How many times have you ever heard LeBron mention Skip's name?
I have never heard, ever.
Okay. And Roger Goodell is just like, I don't even know how to do this. Like, that is that not the greatest thing that you can do if you're in his position? Is literally not even acknowledge his existence. That is winning on every level. Like, I'm not even going to acknowledge you as a human being, and damn sure not as an important human being. Because if he had answered that question in any way, it would have been followed up with more subsequent questions about him. He's like, listen, I don't know nothing about that. I don't know anything about a suspension. I mean, about a ban. There's
the LeBron comparison is interesting. The LeBron comparison is interesting because Skip Bayless got filthy rich off of LeBron's name, and LeBron not only refuses to acknowledge him, but like regularly acknowledges Shannon Sharpe.
Yes.
Which is pretty funny.
Yes. He pretends like he's doing a one man show.
And I enjoy that because I think that that's a lot more of a disingenuous thing of like, don't give Skip Bayless any oxygen. He's already surviving off of a complete lack of it anyway. Who knows if LeBron did say his name, Skip Bayless's head might actually physically explode. But the whole thing with like that, there's a difference when you're in front of Congress. And again, the line of questioning is completely disingenuous. And Jim Jordan, not a great person. If he's a defender of your values, that's fine. But as a human being, no, thank you. He's pretty clearly lying. And then Dave Portnoy calling Roger Goodell Hitler on social media in response to that. It's just like, I don't.
Hitler? Goodell, bro, we should, like, shut up, Dave. Shut up, Dave. Like, come on. Get out of here. I think we've spent enough time on this, dude. Man. Anyways. All right. Now it is time for our top five. One of our favorite segments. Top five today. And today, top five superheroes of all time. And I did not give Ralph the criteria for this, so I know that he's going to come up with some wacky criteria that he came up with for his rationale, for his B-side list. I know that tough. Ralph, I know that you made a B-side list. I know you did.
Okay. All right. Were you a comic book kid?
Nope. Oh, watched them on TV.
I was. A big time, not to the point where like it lasted into adulthood. It was a lot like pro wrestling with me. If they were making pro wrestling movies about like fictionalized pro wrestling movies about the characters from the 90s, I would also spend money to watch every single one of those. But it didn't, like, once I turned 20, I don't think my kids read comics now. They tell me about different stuff, but most of the stuff that I'm watching in movies, some of it's news to me because it's things that happened after 2004 in comic books. But I was pretty invested before that. So I'm going to try not to get frustrated with some of your answers here that are completely based off of what you've seen on screen.
Oh, I know that some of them are different. So don't get me wrong. You're gonna come up with like Mr. Miracle and, you know, Nightcrawler and
oh my God, dude. That's not fair.
And Nova or something like that.
Oh, I'm so frustrated. So should I just give you my number five right now?
Yeah. Come on. It's Kitty Pride. I know it. Come on.
Oh, you're such a dick. My number five is Nightcrawler.
I told you. I absolutely told you that he was going to. Okay. Now, for those uninitiated, tell the people who Nightcrawler is.
Nightcrawler, Kurt Wagner, he's a German circus act. He was born with like dark, like pantherish skin and a long tail. He looks like a human animal, but he can teleport, which I think is the sickest. Like for the heroes that have just like one power, they can only do one thing. That is the one that if I could have anything, there's a lot of people that say like, oh, I would fly. I love the idea of like of teleportation, right? Like, why waste time flying when you could just be there like that? And I think he can also teleport anybody he's in contact with. So
I know a lot of people are like, Nightcrawler, isn't that a Jake Gyllenhaal movie?
That's a great Jake Gyllenhaal movie, but no. So I like Nightcrawler. I thought the two movie versions, the two movie adaptations of him were super cool. One of my favorite scenes from any superhero movie ever is Nightcrawler almost assassinates the president in X-Men 2. X-Men is also one of my favorite things.
Yes.
And this is the only X-Men character that I have in my top five because he was my favorite in the X-Men. It's the power that I think is the coolest. So Nightcrawler is my number five, and screw you for spoiling it before.
And we didn't talk about it. All right. So I know that we're going to see like Iron Fist, Silver Surfer.
Iron Fist sucks.
And
what's wrong with Silver Surfer?
And Jonah Hex is going to be on your list.
All right. My God, dude.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, my number five. This man actually has no superpowers, but he is a superhero because he has nerves of steel.
Sully Sullenberger?
No, it is Batman. Batman has been, listen, the man has no superpowers. Superpowers being super rich. And he doesn't even, the thing that makes him so super is he doesn't even have to fight crime. He chooses to. Because he's got a mission. His backstory. Parents were killed by these vandals and ruffians. And he must avenge this for the rest of his life. He's so rich, he doesn't even have to do this. But he chooses a life of service. You should be in on this. You chose, what was that? The Job Corps, the whatever the hell you chose.
AmeriCorps?
Yeah, the AmeriCorps. This is you.
Poverty?
Yes, a life of poverty. In the process.
Yeah, there's a couple of things about Batman that make me a little uncomfortable. It's like he has $1 billion, but he still goes out at night and chokes out like somebody stealing a stick of gum from the Piggly Wiggly. Like that one, I'm a little bit like, oh, maybe him and Elon Musk aren't that different. Like,
like, dude,
I just need to go on Twitter and troll somebody because
Batman's made a lot of really good movies. There are a couple bad ones.
Yes. But yeah, if you're in it for just the movie side and the fact that he squares off against the coolest villains of Batman is the coolest villains, which, and he always wins, and you're a Floyd Mayweather fan, so you go with the undefeated guy.
Wow.
With all the money.
And Batman has never died. So there's that. All right. Okay. Who's your number four? Come on.
This is going to be another one where you make fun of me.
Hawkman, come on.
Hawkman. This is just me giving a shout out to my dad's people. There is one superhero in the entire like Marvel canon that is Northern Cheyenne, and her name is Danielle Moonstar. She goes by Mirage.
I told you.
Come on now.
But this is acceptable.
All right. She will make you see like whatever your biggest fear is.
Well, that's terrifying.
Like, yeah, like give you waking nightmares, like go insane or whatever. But she's from the Northern Cheyenne Rez. That's where my dad's from. And so I always, as a little kid, I would get the New Mutant comics that came out in the early 80s. And I just thought it was so cool that there was some representation of some kind in there. So she was definitely my favorite, but I'm done with the small time characters after that.
My number four, another rich guy with no superpowers, but he kicked off one of the greatest movie runs that we've ever seen. And that is Iron Man. And the coolest part is, he's what, one of the only superheroes that you actually know who he actually is as a person. He's like, okay. I'm Tony Stark. Like you don't need to guess who's behind this Iron Man mask. I'm Tony Stark, homie. When you see me flying, you know who it is. He's really about that life. He doesn't need a secret identity. So yes.
Okay. I'm sensing a theme. You know, you made fun of Iron Fist, but he's also a billionaire. If you want to add him to your list.
Nope.
Okay.
Spectre. Spectre is your number.
Oh my God, three. Dude, chill. My number three is another one that you already spoiled, but it's not even a peripheral character. It just hasn't been in any movie. If you're a comic book fan, this is one of the biggest heroes of all time.
Okay, come on.
Put him in one movie and it was really bad, and it's not compelling because he's not defeatable, and that's Silver Surfer.
I know, dude. I knew you were going to say like Silver Surfer, bro.
But that's not like a peripheral character. That's like one of the biggest comic book characters of all time. And his whole thing is he was kind of a slave who was sent to Earth to destroy Earth either for, I don't know, it's Galactus or Thanos. One of the two. He was sent ahead to prepare a planet to be consumed. And he came to Earth and he instead fought back and he saved Earth and then he stuck around. And I love that character arc of going from like more of like indentured servitude.
Which universe is he in?
He's Marvel. Marvel. He's like DC has Green Lantern who can kind of do anything because of his ring. Silver Surfer can kind of do anything, like limitless power, but he's got like a surfboard. So he's like Marvel's version of Green Lantern. And he was sent to Earth to destroy it or prepare it for destruction. And he was an indentured servant who basically like went against his enslavement to save Earth. And I always thought that was the coolest thing.
Okay,
ever.
So 2030, we will get to more of the B-side characters.
Okay,
in the movies. All right, my number three. This one. Even though we only got one movie about him, he was in a couple of other movies as well. But this was probably the most impactful character to little black and brown kids, and that's Black Panther. Mm-hmm. To actually see, like you said, about the Native American character, what was the name of that character again?
Mirage.
Yeah,
Mirage.
Mirage. The impact of seeing yourself in such a positive way, how that impacted people. And I know people are going to be like, what are you talking about? It's a superhero. Superheroes are the same. No, they're not. Like, you would notice if none of them ever looked like you. It's like if you're a white person and you go to a cookout and you're the only white person there, you may not be... That doesn't mean that you're racist for noticing, like, damn, ain't no other white people around here. You just notice. The same thing with characters, and to see such a like intelligent, powerful, smart, somebody who overcomes adversity, all those things, and then saves the day. And that's Black Panther is my number three.
All right. I like
Wakanda
it.
Forever.
I like it. My number two. Okay, so you're actually going to determine whether or not I'm even allowed to have this as a number two. Does it have to be someone who is always a hero?
No.
Or can it be someone who's kind of on both sides, but like a hero is their nemesis?
Ooh, so like, are you talking about, are you talking about like Deadpool? Like that kind of thing?
I'm talking about Venom.
Because
Venom is a Spider-Man villain, right?
Correct.
He's not like a villain. He just doesn't like Spider-Man.
Correct.
I'll leave that one on the back burner because I would say then if we're talking like villains or in between, Venom's my favorite. I'll go ahead and throw number two out. My number two
Morbius favorite, is kind of like that too.
Yes, he is. Blade. Speaking of vampires, Blade is my number two.
Okay.
The Daywalker. That's just like that kicks ass. A vampire that is alive in the day that wants to kill all of the vampires. So like not the entire idea that like you could be stricken with the same thing that like you would think makes people evil, but you actually have a choice. And so the movies are just absolutely fantastic. Like Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
The line some MFers are always trying to ice skate uphill is the best line of any superhero movie ever delivered.
Ralph, there you go. Now you've gotten on the right track, buddy. The right track. My number two. Never thought this guy would be my number two, but he is by far had... I mean, aside from Batman, he's had the... like, probably the most movies made about him. And some of them are fantastic, including the cartoon ones. And he's got this Steph Curry vibe, because I talked about like one of the things that
that's pretty funny.
Yeah, that people love about Steph Curry is that he's like every man, you know, that it, he doesn't have these amazing powers where he's 6'6", 230 pounds, can jump through the roof and, you know, 7 feet like Shaq. Like, he doesn't have that. The one thing that we can all do is be better shooters. We can't be Steph, but we can all shoot better. Like, there's something that we can do to be better, as opposed to just being God-given on top of that. And that's why Spider-Man is my number two. Because and also that's kind of the reason why people hate on his legacy, like Steph, is because they're like, oh, well, the bigger dudes, they'll actually defeat him when it matters the most. They'll just run him over when it matters the most. But Spider-Man just finds a way to win all the time.
And now we found
out that there are like, and he's the one who introduced us to the multiverse, really, too. Who really took us all the way in. And the last Spider-Man movie was fantastic, bro. Fantastic.
Spider-Man's cool. And now that I have a bunch of kids, and especially one who is obsessed with Spider-Man, I won't say anything bad. I will just say the reason he's not in my top five is I don't like a guilt-driven hero. I don't. Like, it's not. It doesn't appeal to me. Of like, oh, I messed up once, so I have to spend my entire life chasing
ghosts.
Yeah,
his mission is kind of, he is always trying to make up for something. Instead of having like a noble cause, like, he always has to, you know, be trying to make up for something. Good point.
Yeah, the Uncle Ben thing, like, he should have been good after saving like the first 100 lives that he saved. That should be worth the one that was his fault.
Yep.
You can debate that amongst yourselves. My number one is the thing that appeals to me the most is it, you know, if there was a person out there that didn't have the physical gifts that it took to be a hero, but they had everything else, and then they were given that, and then they made sure that it was never wasted. Like, it didn't, the money didn't change them. The fame didn't change them. The power didn't change them. They stayed rooted in who they were, and that's Captain America. Love Captain America.
Oh man, dude! Captain America. That for all those reasons, it feels like it's too Americana, and for Black people. And I'm a proud American, but like.
It's literally the Spider-Man story.
No. It's like two blonde hair, blue eyes, right on the nose for me.
What? Oh, Steve Rogers too white?
I don't know if I'd say too white, just too. It's just too America, like right on the nose.
All right, that's fine. You hate Captain America?
No. I don't hate Captain America.
I'll play Dave Portnoy, call you Hitler, because you don't like Captain America.
My number one is the most badass and my only DC. Well, actually, no. I have two DC guys. And that is, this dude is unkillable until the last movie, which I don't even know how that they were allowed to kill him. They just didn't want to make any more movies for a while. And that is Wolverine.
Wolverine. He's not DC.
Oh,
he's X-Men.
Oh, duh. Excuse me. I apologize.
I should have just let you say it and let the comic book weirdos come for you.
So I know better because the X-Men are getting ready to start coming into the Marvel movies too. So anyways, I just love the fact that he's unkillable. He's kind of like, he's got a bad backstory, but then when Wolverine actually shows you love and cares about something, he will go to the ends of the earth for you. He can run fast. He can jump high. He's got the claws. Like, he's badass, dude.
I respect Wolverine. I would say that you're putting out some like feminine, we love the protector energy right now. Women love Wolverine, dude. They love Wolverine because like you have to earn his affection. And he is a protector.
He's like the bad boy. He's like the ultimate bad boy.
He is the bad boy. He got a motorcycle. He got a leather jacket. He got a stogie.
Oh,
he's a loner, so you don't have to worry about him going out with his friends. He's older. He's way older, so you got your daddy issues wrapped up in it.
Oh, my God.
Women love Wolverine. And then you got the whole Hugh Jackman thing. I will say, it is my favorite portrayal of a comic book character, the like 8 times that Hugh Jackman did it, and he definitely doesn't get enough credit for the Wolverine, what, the one that takes place in Japan.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that one's super good.
That movie's super underrated.
All right. If you notice, we both did not have one of the probably one of the oldest comic book characters. Came out in 1938. Do you know who I'm talking about? And one of the most famous.
Talking about the symbol for hope, boy, the alien from Kansas.
Yes, Superman. Superman is the truthfully, like if you ask kids, Superman is not on their list because I double dog dare you to find a good Superman movie. Try to find a good Superman movie, please. I mean, maybe Superman 2, but that's so damn old that like that most you probably it's old enough to where you probably haven't even seen Superman 2.
Here is. Yeah, you're right. Again, same rule. If a movie was made before 1993, 94, I'd probably haven't seen it. But Superman is tough in this day and age. Because the thing that has made modern superheroes attractive, and it's the reason why when they put like an unstoppable force in a movie, the movie doesn't do as well unless that unstoppable force is a villain. People want you to have some type of weakness to overcome. They want you to feel accessible in some type of way. I had Silver Surfer on my list. The reason that nobody likes Silver Surfer and the reason you can't put Silver Surfer in a movie is because he's just all silver. Like you can't recognize yourself in him and he has no weaknesses to really like say like, oh, he overcame this. It's one of the reasons Spider-Man is so popular. Like he's smaller, the death of his uncle, you know, all this stuff. And like Wolverine has to overcome his own personality.
Yep.
Like everybody has this thing that they have to overcome. Superman is an invincible alien with one weakness that you literally have to make up a way. Right. You have to like someone randomly happens upon kryptonite and that's the only way that you can. And even the Batman versus Superman, like they had to kill Superman in order to make him interesting, and that's what has gotten really, really tough for people to embrace. I think Superman's fine, but like the idea that he can't be beaten, so there's no like first take debate nature on like, because if you say Superman versus whoever, what's the answer?
Whoever.
No, Superman's gonna whoop your ass.
No. Oh! I thought you were talking about who would you choose, but in a fight, Superman.
Right, and so that's the thing of like. And that goes back to like your whole like Bill Russell Celtics thing. Like who, they didn't have anybody. Yep. They were never in danger.
Okay. Like, so, and the other thing is that we're going to catch some flack for, cause this is the month of title, the 50th anniversary of Title IX. Where was Wonder Woman, who I thought Gal Gadot did a fantastic job, has done a fantastic job in 2 movies. I absolutely loved the first one. Liked the second one. There's like Wonder Woman. There's Phoenix.
Hey, I had a female and a woman of color. Thank you very much. People get mad at. Send your hate to @GeorgeReister on Twitter.
Yeah. And I'm a huge Catwoman fan for all the sexist reasons imaginable.
Who is your favorite female superhero just based on like powers alone?
Based upon powers alone.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you have to go with like Thor, probably.
Thor is not a female. He just has pretty hair.
Oh, you said female. All right.
Yeah.
Favorite. Okay, so like, she's threatened by Jean Grey.
The mind games thing. I'm threatened by that.
Yes, she is absolutely. Yes, she is scary. I want no part of Jean Grey because who wants their mind controlled? And then the second thing is, based upon powers alone, oh my God, it's got to be the Scarlet Witch. She's terrifying, bro. And the way she is about her kids is incredible. So I asked my youngest son, who's 10 years old, to give me his list, right?
Okay.
Number 5, Wonder Woman. Number 4, Superman. Number 3, Thor. Number 2, Iron Man. Number 1, Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's my Spider-Man's gonna be my number one for probably two of my sons. They're all about it. It's really, really hard. Like, I don't know what it is, the cool factor of it. And then you throw Miles Morales in there, and the multiverse and all that stuff. Like, and oh my God, what Tom Holland is ridiculous.
Yes.
And Andrew Garfield slept on too, and I even give credit to Tobey Maguire, even though Spider-Man 3 is the worst movie ever made. But I get Spider-Man. It never, guilt-driven heroism has never appealed to me of like, if I don't do this, I'll feel bad. I don't like that.
I'm surprised that like Human Torch, Shazam, or
Shazam's one of those ones I didn't even know about till the movie came out.
Yeah. Or Kitty Pryde, Black Canary.
He's so dumb. What are you like? I'm
Mr. Manhattan. That should have been on your list.
Okay.
Starfire.
I'm surprised that you didn't have Hulk.
Why?
I don't know, because he's Hulk.
A guy who rages and can't control his temper. That's not appealing to me.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the next thing up. Kyrie Irving. The news about him potentially, whether he's going to opt out by June 29th, and just walk away from the Brooklyn Nets, or whether they're going to sign him to a long-term deal, which they have been reluctant to do. Now, this Brooklyn Nets situation, them trading away Caris LeVert and Jared Allen to make room for Kyrie Irving and then Kevin Durant and then James Harden, it has been an unmitigated disaster up to this point. It hasn't worked at all. It hasn't worked. But a lot of it has to do with injury, the pandemic. Like, there are so many reasons why it has not worked. But the right, I mean, like, so has this been a result of bad decision making by the Brooklyn Nets, or has this just been bad luck?
I would say some bad luck. Some bad luck. The idea of pairing Kyrie and KD together is not bad decision making. If you could have pulled that off with just to have them on your Lakers, I'm sure you would have gone for
okay.
that. Like, I don't.
Okay. So that's what, and that's the part, is that it, on its face, it appears like sound decision making. Even though Kevin Durant was hurt, if you checked out the medicals and you've seen what he's been like since, you, that's been a quality decision we can agree with, right?
He has the type of game where he could lose athleticism and be a monster still.
So
not many guys have that.
So that, even still to this day, has been a good decision, right?
Yes.
Kyrie Irving, there were some signs with the way that he left. I mean, it's the truth. There were some signs with the way he left Cleveland, with everything that happened in Boston, and then him leaving after saying, I'm going to resign and all of that stuff. So there were signs, but Kyrie is so damn good that we treat him like the dad or the mom who's supposed to show up, and they convince us every single time, like, yo, I'm coming. I will not let you down this time. I'm not going to, I won't have to work this entire trip. And then you end up sitting in the hotel room while they're working the entire time. Like, something will always come up. But he's so good that we actually like Kyrie, because we do believe that he's got a good heart. Like we don't believe he is a malicious person or acting out of, you know what I mean? Like, that he has bad intentions for actually anybody.
Right, but I mean, he makes what, $35-40 million a year, and he's out here tweeting the other day, nobody should own land.
Yeah, well, I guarantee you own some, my friend. But okay, so then that got me to thinking. All right. Oh wait, the James Harden situation though, that was a bad decision. Bringing in James Harden was a bad decision because he's not a winner. There's nothing about him as a winner. So they have, and then they traded him to Brooklyn, which traded him to Philadelphia, which then seemed like a good decision, right? That's what I'm saying, is that they haven't made all bad decisions, but you know what it is? You know why they're losing? Why this hasn't worked out? The same reason why it hasn't fully worked out for my Lakers. You know why? Okay. It's a get-rich-quick scheme.
Yes.
It is a get-rich, and do get-rich-quick schemes ever work for the long term?
They only work for the first people to do it, for the pioneers of the for the pioneers of it, the ones that convince you that you should try too.
Yeah. And then as soon as you try to, they skirt out the back door. That Miami got rich quick.
Building depth.
Yep. Yeah. Miami got rich quick, blew up quick. The Boston Celtics.
And you notice Miami has not gone back to the well on that.
No.
They have tried to build up their team through other means to make it sustainable after they got the juice from those two titles.
Is there anything more sustainable than what's going on in Golden State?
No.
Or what's going on in like Memphis? And, you know, like these things feel sustainable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like stuff like Memphis draft, like John Morant falling in their lap, and then they're drafting Brandon Clark in the middle of the first round. Like stuff like that is the type of stuff that allows you to build a foundation. And now the Warriors are in a place where if they wanted to, they could put together a package of like Looney and Wiseman for DeAndre Ayton or some sort of nonsense, and then just fortify what they already have. It's scary. The Warriors are very scary to me right now. And then we have already talked about the fact that Boston has every single player on that team under contract next year. You don't have to make a single change and that to be considered the favorite coming out of the East. And they did enough in that finals to convince themselves that with maybe some additional scoring added to what they already have, that they would have been the better team. And so, what's going on with Brooklyn right now? Like they either have to double down on it and hope that maybe there's an injury or two in the East and then everybody's healthy. But it sounds like Kyrie wants out. This whole Lakers thing is concerning to me. For the most part, because if you leave crypto.com arena and you make your way over to the 101, you're only about a 20-minute drive from the Church of Scientology Celebrity Center.
Oh, dude, they are going to come yet. For Kyrie, bro. They will come for Kyrie.
That's so, the one evolution left for Kyrie is Kyrie the Scientologist.
All right, so there are he's a Muslim now, I believe, so I doubt that they'll be able to get him.
Maybe the first Muslim Scientologist, Native American, Black crypto investor with his own Discord who plays 8 games a season.
All right, there are a couple trades that could work for the Lakers. Lakers get Kyrie Irving and Seth Curry from Brooklyn. The Brooklyn Nets get John Wall's expiring contract, and the Rockets get Russell Westbrook and a 2027 first round pick from the Lakers. The money matches. John Wall gets to play.
I'd love John Wall to get to play, but I'd also love for him to collect $47 million from his couch.
Oh, if there was any doubt, was he opting in? I would have bet my entire year's salary that he was opting in at $47 million. He hasn't played a game in 3 seasons almost.
I'm so proud of John Wall. Like, if you want to talk trash about him, that's fine. But in my mind, he's done nothing wrong.
Nope.
He's done no one thing. He is living the American dream right now.
Facts. But he's probably sad because, you know, he wants to play basketball. And he's...
Yeah, he tried. Didn't he ask to play last year?
Yes. And he's been relegated to men's leagues and runs and open runs. All right. Or Lakers get Kyrie and Seth Curry. The Nets get Miles Turner and Malcolm Brogdon. And the Pacers get Russell Westbrook and a 2028 first rounder.
It feels like whoever gets Russ is just getting an expiring contract at the end of his career. I would love to see, I think Russ in Indianapolis would be kind of fun because whatever they tried to do, whatever they thought they had, didn't happen when TJ Warren decided that the bubble was the only place that he was going to be any good.
Oh my God, bro, you talk about, dude, he went full Jeremy Lin. He went Lin Sanity. He went TJ Sanity, and now it has.
He definitely had his moment, but it feels like either of these scenarios ends up with you having to deal with an already overly interesting Lakers roster that adds Kyrie to the mix.
Yep. But
and is there any scenario in which you end up happy?
Yeah, because at least we can convince ourselves that after Kyrie saying that things, if he were more mature, things would have worked out differently in Cleveland. So maybe he is more mature and LeBron's the guy that can keep him on the rails. We can convince ourselves of that for at least half the season. But I don't know how he's going to deal with COVID protocols out here in Cali because they still check your vaccine card to go into restaurants and all of this stuff. And everybody going to know if Kyrie in there, he ain't been jabbed up.
I don't know how he's going to deal with ocean air. Ocean air, perfect weather, lower your IQ by 8 to 10 points for sure. Maybe that's what he needs. Maybe that's what he needs. When he loses 10 IQ points, he'll be down here with the rest of us and just want to play some basketball.
Yep. All right. Final thing up. This was a tragic story that we woke up to this morning. Jalen Ferguson, outside linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens, was found dead last night. And this was absolutely just, dude, all these young guys dying. It has just impacted me the most. But Ralph actually had something that I thought was very interesting on it that I thought was noteworthy.
Well, we get our information. You and I get our information from like Twitter, right? It comes down the pike. And the thing about getting your information from Twitter is you're exposed to the reaction to the information. And so you not only get the information that Jalen Ferguson passed away at 26 years old, just like a day after we find out Caleb Swanigan passed away at 25 years old, former Portland Trailblazer and Sacramento King, you get this information and then you immediately are subjected to people talking about whether they were vaccinated or not, or whether a vaccine killed them. And that stuff is, it's horrifying. Like it's okay just to wait. We don't know anything. All we know is it's tragic, and tragedy is unfulfilled potential. This is an athlete who I think what I was reading didn't go to his own like draft party so that he could help with tornado relief. Somebody who was, you know, their athletic accomplishment, they're like the all-time sack leader at La Tech, and they're out in Baltimore getting reps on a good defense, and they're found in a 1,200 foot square foot townhouse, you know, unresponsive. And that, like, that's horrifying. Like, yep. I don't know what to make of that, but the entire idea that people are just throwing out that like, oh, was he vaccinated? It's a vaccine. The vaccine is killing athletes. The vaccine's killing all these celebrities. It's just, that's what you're seeing in the replies to all this stuff.
When you have no idea.
No, it's super irresponsible. Super irresponsible. But people don't care. People who do that type of stuff, they don't have empathy for the family. They don't, all they want to do is make sure that whatever preconceived notion or thing that they had latched onto or thing that they're paranoid about gets some sort of oxygen in the wake of a terrible thing that happened. And it's starting to really get to me, man. It's starting to I've seen a lot and been through a lot on twitter.com that, you know, I feel like I got a steel stomach by this point, but people just dropping the word vaccine in the replies to every death is like, man, what level of insensitivity have we reached that even in whatever universe, even if you ended up being right, what have you done?
Yep.
What good have you done? Everybody that's going to get vaccinated already got vaccinated.
Yeah. 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 There's the haze in the barn already, buddy. The haze in the barn. Last thing up, and I probably should have put this earlier because it's totally going to change the mood, but I wanted to get Ralph's reaction to a picture. And this is a picture of a married couple. And one of their outfits Ralph hates. That is Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union. First of all, did Gabrielle Union shave her head, or is that like, her hair is pulled back in a ponytail?
I don't know, because we've seen her with her hair pulled back in like 15 different movies. That looks like a shaved head.
Yeah. And he's wearing out a Utah Jazz all yellow jersey with it looks sheer, dude. It looks like one of those fishnet Morris Day in the Time. Like, it looks very 80s.
Very Milli Vanilli.
Yes. Yes. And you, now, what is your reaction to this photograph?
I just, this is pretty universally hated when the Jazz put out their new jerseys. And I know that he's a minority owner. I actually kind of like the ownership group.
Minority owner.
I don't like seeing Dwayne Wade in a Jazz jersey for any reason.
I know it is weird. It's been
pretty rare to see any NBA player after they're retired don a jersey of a team they never played for. So even that is like, it makes me feel like, oh, this is one of those ESPN Photoshops, but for fashion. But I don't hate it, but I definitely don't like it. It's going to be a cold day in hell before I support anything the Utah Jazz do.
What do you think about them not having any purple in their uniforms? Like aside from like the throwback, like that their everyday jerseys are essentially black, yellow, and white.
The purple to me is the way they get. I identify with them being in purple more than I identify with them having the Jazz name even on their jersey, because it always seemed like it's like Flint Tropics, like the thing that Will Ferrell came up with to be funny in the basketball movie he did. Like, it's not supposed to make Utah Jazz. Like, I've hung out in downtown Salt Lake plenty of times, ate at the Blue Iguana. There's no Jazz music, probably never will be. Like, it's not it. The whole name has always been goofy. So for them to abandon the purple, which is like representative of the horizon, a really unique landscape out there, and to just have the, I don't know, maybe it's a shout out to,
I feel like they're supposed to have the purple and the green. Like, I really wasn't feeling like those. And I know that it was like that the scenic jerseys were last year, that they were actually more reminiscent of the colors and the landscape out in Utah. But I got to tell you, I didn't like it that much.
I would love to see them surrender the name, the Cleveland Brown style, right? I'd love to see them surrender the name so that New Orleans can get it back, because Pelicans are probably the dumbest name in the NBA. And then if they want to keep that jersey set up, then name the team after something that Utah is actually like well known for. And I know it sounds like a WNBA name, but call them the Hive.
The Hive?
Yeah, man, that's what that's what they're famous for out there, is the bees.
I didn't know that. I call them the Rockies.
The Utah Rockies?
Yeah, or the I don't know, the Utah Everything Closes Earlys. the Utah
Family Home Evenings.
Yes. The Utah Lakes. No, you got the Lakers. The Utah Snowcaps.
Utah Shakers. Salt Shakers.
The Utah, we used to employ a pedophile, but we now don't. All right. That is Reister Wrong Today. I'm George Reister. He's Ralph Amster. Peace out. Catch you guys later.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.